In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the fourth week of Pentecost, after the glorious Feast of the Resurrection. And the Church reads for us the familiar passage that displays Christ as being the light of the world. So today, Christ, the message to us from the Church is that Christ is the light of the world. And in many parts of Scripture, the Bible teaches us to be children of the light. To be children of the light. We read in the Gospel of today that the Lord said, "While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." That we might become sons of light. And also in St. Paul echoes the same thing in Ephesians. He says, "Walk as children of light." And the Church, every day, in the midnight praises, begins by, and the midnight Agbeya as well, begins the praises by saying, "Arise, O children of light, let us praise the Lord of hosts." So, we are supposed to be the children of light. But as what the Lord said today, when He says that you may become sons of light, this is something we have to work at. This is something that we have to try to fulfill. This is what God desires for each of us, is to be a child of light. So I'd like to just speak about two points mainly. One is there are some things that the children of light know about darkness that help them live as children of light. And number two, there are some qualities of the children of light and how they should look. So I want all of us, when I'm speaking, to measure myself. Do I know this about darkness and not know it just by my mind? But is it something I'm convinced of and I live by? Or is it something that I just hear in the sermons and whatever and just keep and just put it in the back of my mind as a piece of information? First, let's discuss about what the children of light know about darkness. What are we, as children of light, supposed to know and understand about darkness? The first thing is that the children of light know that darkness cannot be mixed with light. They know that darkness cannot be mixed with light. If there is a room that is dark with no light, we say that the room is dark. But as soon as we put a candle or a light source in the room, we say that the room is filled with light. You can't have both light and darkness at the same time. This is what St. Paul says in Corinthians. He says, "And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial?" So he says, what communion is there between light and darkness? What communion is there with Christ and the idols? Or Christ and the things that the world worships. You know, to the person who lives in light, there should be no gray areas when it comes to sin. There should be no gray areas. The sin is sin, and what's righteous is what's righteous. There are no gray areas when it comes to sin. And that's why the children of light, they don't try to sugarcoat sins. Neither in our mind, nor in our description of them. We don't call a lie a white lie to make it sound like something good. White is something pure and holy. So therefore, the lie has been covered with something that is used to describe purity and holiness. There's no such thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie. It's all the same. Some justify wrongdoings to achieve something that might be good or beneficial. Some might say, "I lied about or cheated on an exam so I can pass an exam." Some might even cheat on an exam or a test in church so I can enter into the service. The service is something good, something beneficial. But to achieve that by a wrong means or an evil means will never help anybody. And it will never make it right. Just because the end is good, it will never make the means correct if I choose something that is evil. In order to get the promotion at work, I have to speak bad about my coworkers. The means never justifies the end. And the children of light know this, that there's no fellowship with light and darkness. I can't live in darkness or live in light and also enjoy the darkness. No, it's one or the other. The second thing that the children of light know about darkness is that they know that darkness is a choice. Living in darkness is a choice that every person makes, regardless of their background, regardless of their upbringing, and regardless of their environment. If you look at the story of Adam and Eve, it was by their own choice that they chose to obey the advice of the serpent that was contrary to the advice that God, or the commandment that God gave them. And it was because their choice, when they chose to disobey God, which was to abide in darkness, that they were expelled from the place of light, the Garden of Eden, which was the dwelling place of God. So God here makes it very clear that darkness cannot dwell with light. In the kingdom of heaven, there'll be no corner set aside for those that are somewhat light and a little bit dark. No. It'll be all light, and outside of all light will be all darkness. There'll be no middle ground. So darkness is a choice. Some people often say, but Abuna, I can't help it. The world around me is dark. All of my friends are doing this. My brother or my sister made me do this. My coworker, because of what they did, made me respond in such a harsh way. This word of made me is something that is, you know, we're just fooling ourselves with. No one can make us really do anything. No one can make us do anything. We are free to choose for ourselves what to do and what to say and how to behave. That's why the Lord told us in the book of Deuteronomy, I have called heaven and earth as my witness, as God says, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Set before you means that I have given you the freedom of choice. God does not desire us to choose the darkness, nor does He promote the darkness. But the darkness is there by His divine economy to allow us the opportunity to choose the light. If there was nothing but light, then we would all choose light and we weren't be worthy of a reward. But if darkness is there and we choose light, then we're worthy of a reward. Then he continues the verse, therefore choose life that both you and your children may live. Darkness is a choice. The third thing that the children of light know about darkness is that darkness pursues them. Darkness pursues them. Pay attention to what the Lord said today in the gospel. He says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. So saying, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. As if what? As if darkness is behind you, trying to catch up with you and overtake you. And this is the same thing that happened with Cain. When Cain hated his brother Abel because his offering was accepted, what did God tell Cain? He said, if you do well, I will accept you. But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. So sin's desire is for us. It's pursuing us. And the children of light who dwell in light know that there's an enemy who is after them. So when we start the Holy Great Fast, or we start any fast, and I want to live a righteous life, and I make new vows to the Lord, I know as a child of light that Satan will not be quiet with this. You'll find somebody at work tell you something difficult. You'll find this day people are cutting you off on the street, trying to make you upset. We know that there's an enemy who's pursuing us. But just the simple fact that when I try to work at my spiritual life and in virtue and righteousness, and I see the enemy around me try to stop me, this is all the more proof of God's existence and the enemy's existence and the truth of the Bible. That the Bible tells me that the children of light will be pursued by darkness. And the world follows this and does it unknowingly. That's why you'll find all of the society around us is against Christianity only. They say it's religion and all this stuff. No, but it's about Christianity. It's about the source of light. Darkness can't bear the light because the light exposes the darkness. So the children of light know that they are being pursued, but it doesn't sway them. We continue. Lastly, the children of God, or the children of light, know that darkness must be exposed. Darkness must be exposed. It can't be brushed under the rug, but it must be exposed. St. Paul says to the Ephesians, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Have no fellowship with the fruit of darkness. Have no fellowship with the festivities of darkness like Halloween and the so forth, but rather expose them. Have no fellowship with those who want to call sin something that is good, or to cover sin and say about premarital relationships or premarital sex is something that is just premarital relationship, but rather call it fornication as the Bible calls it. Call it sin and sexual immorality as it is. The evil one wants our conscience to be dulled, so he tries to find different names for sin. They call people that follow or that believe the lie about themselves and say that I can say that myself to be a female or a male just as I want to, and I can lie to myself. People call that transgenderism. Sounds okay, right? Just like any other ism. But this is a lie. And those who believe in this, they're lying to themselves. And believe me, the way of darkness and lies will never produce something good. We need to call sin as it is. How else can we expose sin? By calling sin as it is, as a sin. All the people that say, when they say, so is homosexuality a sin? You know, I don't know, and this, it's a sin. This is what the Bible says. This is our reference, the truth. Another way we can expose sin is by our behavior. The righteous behavior exposes the unrighteous behavior, or the behavior of darkness. When all my friends around me at school are saying foul language, or in my workplace, and I myself refrain from saying any bad language, this is a source of light among darkness. And it will rebuke the people around. I recall when I was, before I was a priest, when I got a new job, and there was a lady that worked with me who was cursing often. And I never one time told her to stop or bothers me or anything. But any time she cursed, I just showed her I was disinterested, and I never said any, you know, thing that was foul. And she observed this, and she began to apologize to me when she would say something foul, although I never told her. And, you know, as the time began, she just stopped cursing in the workplace altogether. And I said nothing. This was all God's work. I said nothing. God can reveal His light even when you say nothing, but just by simply your behavior. And this is something that, you know, the late Holiness, His Holiness Pope Kyrillus used to always, you know, say, that we should be preaching not only with our word, but with our actions, by our deeds. So what are the qualities of those who live in light? So we said, the children of light know that darkness cannot be mixed with light. They know that darkness is a choice. They know that darkness is pursuing them. And they know that darkness must be exposed. So naturally, the qualities of the children of light is, one is that they disdain darkness. They hate darkness. They don't like it. As the psalm says, "You who love the Lord hate evil." hate evil. It uses a very strong adjective here, hate. Not dislike, not I don't prefer, but hate evil. Sometimes we might swing back and forth, you know, all of us do. All of us, you know, we love to live in righteousness, but we commit sin and fall, you know, along the way. But there's a difference between falling into sin and enjoying staying in the muck of sin. There's a big difference between I like the way that the world lives. The people that say to themselves, if I wasn't an Orthodox Christian, I would be having fun like all of my peers. This person is a child of light by name, but his heart is still in the world. He still looks at how the world enjoys themselves and thinks of it as something that is fun and something that he or she desires. This reminds me exactly of Lot's wife. She was leaving because her husband and the family, everybody else was leaving, and she was going towards the light, but where was her heart? It was back in Sodom and Gomorrah, with her jewelry, with her clothes, with her friends, with the parties, and all of these things. The children of light hate evil. And you know, some of the children of light don't fall into maybe the major sins, not because they don't desire, but maybe because it might not be available, I might not have the opportunity, or I might feel too embarrassed if I do it. Again, here, if I look at sin with these type of descriptions, I'm walking as a child of light, but my heart is not a child of light. If you look at somebody like Joseph and Potiphar's wife, when she wanted to commit sin with him, to anybody else, you can consider Potiphar's wife as like a celebrity. Right? If our children have these celebrities on their walls in our bedroom, what would happen, or the scenario would be the same, is if one of these celebrities started flirting with you. What would your reaction be? Would you flee like Joseph? Would you hate darkness? Or would I love light and flee from darkness like Joseph did? Joseph was a child of light because he fled darkness. It's not a sign of weakness to flee from darkness, but it's a sign of wisdom and strength. I know my weakness. I know what I can handle. But let me flee when I can flee. If you look at Daniel and the three saintly children who were taken to the land of Babylon, away from the temple, the place of worship, away from their family, away from the support system, their friends and family. They were given new names. They were taught new language. All of these things to brainwash them and let them forget their heritage. And then they said, come, eat of the king's delicacies, just like the rest of your peers. And after 3 years, we will test you and see if you're worthy to serve the king. They might have thought, if this was any of us, we would have thought this was a golden opportunity. These people in Israel, they didn't live luxurious lives like the kings in the palaces. They lived ala adduhum kida. Just, you know, very simple. And now they're being offered the meats, the steaks, the fillets, all of this stuff that the king is eating. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance, even if I don't go serve the king. Let me enjoy these 3 years. But no, these were children of light. They said, give me the vegetables and the water, and let us fast for 3 years straight, just as we are accustomed to in our country and our worship. They didn't bow down. They desired, they loved the way of light and hated the way of darkness. The children of light need to hate the way of darkness. If I don't hate the way of darkness yet, then I need to bring this up to my father of confession and speak to him about this. But the children of light should hate the way of darkness. It should not be appealing. When someone says jokes that are filled with cursing, it shouldn't make me laugh, but it should stir within me sad types of feeling for these people. The children of light live by one standard. They live by one standard. As St. John tells us in his first letter, If we say that we have fellowship with Him, Him being God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So the children of light have one source of truth, and that is the way of light, and that is the way of God, which is told us in His commandment. We have one source of truth. My source of truth doesn't come from popular opinion. My source of truth doesn't come from myself, what I think should happen. But the source of truth comes from the Word of God. What does God say about this? And what does the church say about this? Not what do I think about this, or what does society think about this. To the children of light, there is only one standard, and that is God. They don't live a double standard. The third thing, or the third quality of the children of light, is that they live in harmony. They live in harmony. The next verse in the letter of John says, "But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another." If the children of light are walking in light, they have fellowship with one another. There is harmony with one another. Again, I'll refer back to the interview that I saw. It was in Arabic between the news broadcaster, and she was interviewing a nun from St. Damiana Monastery. And she asked, all of these women living together, are there any arguments? Or how often are the arguments? Tabanani, if you put this many women together, yani, you can imagine. And the men as well, but yani, maybe so more so the women. No offense. But she says, no, there's none. You know why? Because we live by a couple of principles. One, akhtayt, or I've sinned, and the other is forgive me. They acknowledge their weakness and their sin, and the second, they ask for forgiveness. And the third, she said that nothing, no one owns anything. Imagine if we lived by this. The children of light should live by this. We should say, forgive me, I'm sorry, and realize that I own nothing. This would solve all of our problems. If you look at your problems, they come from this. Either I think that I own something and somebody is taking advantage of it. Either somebody offended me and I can't forgive them, or I can't say that I offended somebody else and I can't say that I'm sorry. This is the cause of our problems. The children of light live in harmony. They live in peace and fellowship with one another. Lastly, the children of light know the joyful sound. They know the joyful sound. How many of the kids watched the Christmas movie Polar Express? Raise your hand. Okay, all of us. Right? A lot of us watched the Polar Express. It's a good Christmas movie. But the summary, or the theme of the movie, is the person, the kid, didn't believe in Santa Claus, so he couldn't hear the bell ring. But once he believed in Santa Claus, then he heard the bell ring. So the children of light, they know the joyful sound. They like the sounds of God. They like hearing sermons. They like hearing hymns. They like hearing tunes of praise. This is appealing to them. If you gave them one of the pop songs from whoever is current nowadays, and you give them some hymns or some Christian music, which one would I desire? The children of light find joy, or enjoy the joyful sound. As the psalmist says, he said, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance." The joyful sound is something that is pleasant to their ears and something that they lean towards. And believe me, if we don't learn how to enjoy these joyful sounds, we will feel very out of place in the kingdom of heaven. Because this is what we're going to hear. What do we hear in scripture about the angels in the kingdom of heaven? What are they saying? Holy, holy, holy Lord of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory and honor. Right? Agios, agios, agios. These are the hymns. So if I don't learn to enjoy them here and today, we will feel very out of place in the kingdom of heaven. And if we don't learn to enjoy them here, we will not enjoy them in the kingdom of heaven. So in summary, the children of light, they know of some things about darkness. They know that darkness cannot be mixed with light. They know that darkness is a choice. They know that darkness pursues them, and they know that darkness must be exposed. And the qualities of the children of light, they disdain darkness. They hate darkness. They look at darkness and they don't like it. Drinking parties and the such, I don't like them. They live by one standard, and that's the standard of God. They live in harmony with the brethren. And lastly, they know and enjoy the joyful sound. May God grant us during these holy 50 days to enjoy His resurrection, enjoy living with Him and in His presence, and live as children of light for the rest of our days. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.